religions, how many of them you would think of their founder, oh, that was probably a person of peace. I wonder. Not many, I'd guess, looking at the state of some of our religions worldwide, on a worldwide scale, and what impact they're having, Christianity included. And obviously, Christians are doing great things. But actually, Christian nations are doing some terrible things as well, and they're at the forefront of the major conflicts in the world and making those worse in some respects. And so I think it's really important this morning that we think about this idea of peace, especially as we come into this Advent season. You know, the world has never been in greater turmoil, really, on a global scale. And we have a Prince of Peace who speaks into all of those situations. So Luke chapter 2 and Isaiah, both proclamations of a new Lord, a Saviour, that's coming with a promise of peace. And actually, that is really nothing unusual. When new leaders rise up anywhere, and you see it at the moment around the world, when a new leader, Saviour, Lord, whatever you want to call them, rises up, they often come with the promise of peace, don't they? They often proclaim a new era of peace. And often that's because it's to their benefit that the place that they're about to rule is peaceful, is a peaceful place. It benefits leaders to have peaceful subjects, I guess. However, often that peace comes with terms and conditions, and often it comes with the spilling of blood, actually. An example would be this scripture from Deuteronomy. It says this. This is for the Israelites. When you draw near to a town to fight against it, offer it terms of peace. If it accepts your terms of peace and surrenders to you, then all the people in it shall serve you at forced labor. If it does not submit to you peacefully, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. So it's peace, but it's peace with terms and conditions. And that is actually not particularly unusual. At the time that Jesus was born, the Roman world was at peace. The peace of Rome, Pax Romana. It wasn't really at peace, but they called it this idea of the peace of Rome, which basically meant when we've beaten you into submission and you don't fight us anymore, then there'll be peace in your land. If you agree to do what we say, then you'll have peace. If you look around the world now, in the recent general election in the States, you know, Donald Trump offered this peace through strength. It's peace through strength. And a lot of leaders believe in this idea. You know, people within UK politics as well are talking about this idea of peace through strength. The idea that no one attacks a strong man because it's not worth it. So if we're stronger than you, there'll be peace because you're not going to attack us. But actually, that kind of peace is no peace at all, really. It's not lasting peace. It's not true peace. And the Jewish idea of peace was very different to that. This idea of shalom, which is to do with harmony, you know, the absence of conflict, sure, but much more than that. It's to do with wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare. It was to do with the whole person, the whole community, not just the absence of conflict. And when I think about some of the things that we turn to in our lives, I know that I've turned to in my life for a sense of peace or well-being. Things I've seen friends and family turn to, that they've given themselves to, almost given control to, lordship to. These things often promise peace. You know, the pursuit of wealth is something that people turn to for this sense of well-being, this sort of pseudo shalom, if you like, or the pursuit of pleasure, or the pursuit of control. And these are some of the things I think that the human condition sort of turns to at times. But it's not true peace. It's not a lasting peace. It's something that satisfies for a moment, but keeps you coming back for more. Never satisfied. And it creates a conflict within us. And I think that is the state of our world, really. And so this morning, I just want us to reflect on the Prince of Peace, the message of Jesus, what he talked about when he talked about bringing peace on earth, and what that means for us this Advent. And like I say, this, a message of peace has never been so needed, and not a peace that's a temporary fix, a different kind of peace. And we're going to look briefly at the birth of Jesus, something from his life, and the death of Jesus, to see how he turns this whole idea of peace on earth on its head to what was expected. And I guess what that means for us today. So we've just read the proclamation of the birth of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus, to shepherds out in a field. And you think about when a new leader in the world today is announced, a new president, a new king, a new prime minister, whatever it is. And it comes with pomp and ceremony and fanfare. Usually it's a show of strength. That's always been the way through the ages, through the different empires. They ride into town in their chariots and there's a fanfare and it's a show of strength. We have a new leader, a new ruler. Usually a warrior or a king or something like that. And then you look at this, which is an announcement of a new Lord, a new Saviour. It says, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. But what a different kind of announcement. What a different kind of Lord this is. Not a warrior king, but a baby. A baby. Do you see the contrast there between what's expected and what is happening here? The Jewish people expected a new Lord, a new Messiah, but they expected someone completely different. They wanted peace, shalom, but they expected it to be brought by the strong man. Because how else is peace won than driving out your enemies? How else do you get peace? So they expected strength, but what they got was complete vulnerability. What's more vulnerable than a newborn baby? Nothing. A baby doesn't come with terms and conditions. A baby doesn't beat you into submission and say, you'll have peace when you obey me. A baby can't do that. So what could God be teaching us about peace through the birth of a baby? What could the most vulnerable possibly have to offer? And I wonder, what if God is teaching us that true peace isn't about strength and about conditions? It's about weakness and it's about vulnerability. To illustrate it, if you've ever had an argument, you'll get this. Because I've had a few arguments in my time. When I do those sort of personality tests, strength finder, I did a strength finder test, and Amy loves these things. The top thing I came out as in this strength finder test was harmony, which sounds lovely, doesn't it? I like harmony. I don't like conflict. But then my second top gift was competitiveness. So I don't know how you marry the two there, but it tends to, maybe it's like I like harmony, but on my terms, I don't know. But I've had my fair share of arguments in my time, and I've won a few and I've lost a few. But if you've ever had an argument and won, proved your point, and then wondered why the other person doesn't just say, "Ah, now I see, thank you for correcting me. Now I understand, thank you for correcting my ways. Let's just sit down and be at peace with one another." It doesn't work like that, does it? Or if you've been on the receiving end and you've been beaten into submission in an argument and someone has completely proved you wrong, maybe you've been really arguing your point, convince you're right, and then realised, oh no, I'm not. this is awful. And they have that smug look on their face. You're not generally left thankful and at peace that they've corrected you, generally. So, peace isn't about winning an argument. It's not about strength. Because only one person really wins. And actually, then, nobody wins. Peace is when people lay down their weapons and their right to be right. And actually see things from someone else's perspective. When we listen and understand each other. When we actually become vulnerable and admit our faults. That's when we can actually find peace. And the Prince of Peace arrived in total vulnerability, in total weakness, with the offer of peace. Not the imposition of peace on his terms, but as a baby. Because real peace can never be imposed. And God doesn't impose peace on us. The second thing is that peace really it's a gift received. And actually receiving a gift takes a certain kind of vulnerability. I don't know what you're like at receiving, whether that's help or presence or whatever it is. Some people are compliments. Some people are really bad at receiving and find it really difficult. And it can be the same with peace, actually, that we don't want to be vulnerable and receive peace. We want to almost create our own sense of peace, achieve peace through our own efforts. And I'm just going to read to you some words from John chapter 20. So this is towards the end of Jesus' life, and after his resurrection from the dead, sorry. And he's with his disciples, and this is what it says. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I think that's such a beautiful image of what peace is. It's this presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift given to us. And I don't know whether you've ever tried to find peace in your own strength. And there are loads of strategies out there, aren't there, for creating peace. People try and create these peaceful environments. If I just create a peaceful space with candles and pillows, then I'll find peace. Or maybe it's clear in the diary. If I just make space in my diary, stop doing loads of stuff, I'll find peace. Or maybe trying to do lots of different things and take my mind off things that stress me out, I'll find peace. And I've done some of those things and realized peace can't be manufactured. You cannot manufacture things. I've created space and been as anxious and stressed as I was before I did that. Because you can't manufacture peace. You can create conditions, perhaps, to find peace, to meet peace, and still not have peace. And in John chapter 20, Jesus gives the gift of peace to his disciples. And it's a presence with them. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Peace is connected to this idea of the presence of God with us. And actually, when you read through the rest of the Gospels, and Jesus says to his disciples, when you go and visit people, give them your gift of peace. Say, "Peace be with you." And if they're not people of peace, it will return to you. This idea that peace is a gift that's given. And like I said before, that takes vulnerability. For all of us, this Advent, if we want to find peace in the midst of chaos, it's going to mean taking time. And that can be a vulnerable thing. So actually say, "No, I'm not going to be busy the whole time. I'm going to not be productive the whole time, which we don't like. I don't. I like being productive. I don't like time when I'm not productive. It doesn't feel right. So it can be a vulnerable thing to take time. It can be vulnerable to open ourselves up to receiving a gift and saying, God, I need your peace. Admitting that we can't achieve it or buy it or earn it. And I'd like to encourage us, and I'm encouraging myself this Advent, to take time to wait for the Prince of Peace and the gift of peace. A few years ago, a friend of mine, he just wrote on Facebook, "Let every heart prepare him room." And that carol has never been the same for me since. Joy to the World, that's a line from Joy to the World. And every Advent, I just think, let every heart prepare him room. What an amazing thing. It's an active thing, isn't it? Preparing room for Jesus in our hearts. And then the third thing is this, that in the ancient world, and even in our world today, peace is generally achieved through the shedding of blood, through the death of another. We've talked about when you beat your enemies into submission, that's, you kind of find a certain type of peace. If they're not strong enough, until they rally the troops and come back and get you again, there's an element of peace. Or there was, you know, peace from guilt through sacrifice and the shedding of blood that way. But Jesus comes and he turns the whole idea on its head. And I'm going to read to you from Colossians 1 verse 20. It says this: "For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." By making peace through the blood of his cross. What a message that would have been to these people living in the Roman Empire at this time, where peace came through the shedding of other people's blood. But this was peace through the shedding of God's own blood, the blood of his Son. The idea that peace comes through the self-sacrifice of God, through the laying down of the life of Jesus. And that's such a powerful message, and we're going to share communion this morning, which is a reminder that our peace is through God's Son and the shedding of his blood. And it's a reminder that the path of peace isn't through winning and control. It's through letting go and laying down your life for others. Wow, what a message that would be for our world if our world got hold of that. That we're not going to find peace through winning. We're going to find peace through losing. That's going to be real, lasting peace. And I want to finish this morning just with one more image from the New Testament. Because I often, like many people, probably look for peace in the wrong places until my eyes are opened and I wake up. And there's a scene just before Jesus' death where he's riding into Jerusalem as he's being recognized as this Messiah, this Savior. But people still haven't quite got what that means. And as Jesus is riding in, it says this in Luke 19:41. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And of course, that did happen. And the Roman Empire crushed Israel and destroyed the temple. And peace wasn't found through fighting. And the challenge to us this Easter, I guess, Easter, this Advent, is to come to the Prince of Peace who laid down his life. And I guess to be vulnerable and to let go of our own need for control, our own ways of finding peace. And to meet God in that. And I think we can meet God this morning in communion as we remember his self-sacrifice for us. So I'm going to hand over to Liz to lead us through that.